Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Pastor Kyle Horner and Remy Motti. We're getting closer to football season.
Yes.
Kyle, we're getting closer.
Yes.
We still have to endure some more preseason football games, though.
It's
are you a guy who believes in the new thinking of coaches where starters and the ones are most likely going to not see any action? I'm fine with that.
I'm totally fine with it.
Especially when they have controlled scrimmages against other teams. And a lot of teams are doing that now. They're going to have controlled scrimmages against other teams before they play. Except the quarterback gets to wear a red jersey. So now he gets to see a defense, opposing defense, 2-3 times in a week. And then they go out and they don't play in a game.
Yeah, I think, you know, unless you're going to a new team, i.e. Nick Foles, right, going to a new team, starting in a new offense, you're getting so many reps as a first-team player during camp, during the summer. You know, this season's really long. 16 games is really, really long. And, you know, I'd rather go into the season with my starters. When you're talking about guys that have been playing 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 years, you know, there's pretty much not anything they haven't seen. So the challenge isn't to get them to see new things where it is for a rookie or maybe a second-year player. It's to actually get them into the season healthy.
And that's the key, because when you're going into – even when you do play a preseason game, your offense is vanilla. The defense,
correct,
for the
exactly
most part,
right.
You're not. The defense isn't
showing
much.
You anything.
Although last week in the Titans Eagles preseason game, they blitzed a couple times.
They did.
They made hit a couple times with consecutive plays, and Nate Sudfeld ended up breaking his wrist on a late hit. But normally you don't get to see much of a defense, so you're not getting anything out of it.
You're really getting very little out of it, other than, you know, kind of team playing at that pace, you know, which practice isn't necessarily that pace. And, you know, you're exactly right. When it comes to strategy and giving a new look, you're not really seeing anything.
So hopefully at some point maybe they'll cut them to 2 preseason games and have each team two controlled scrimmages, and then we can get into the football season. Pennant races are heating up, though, in Major League Baseball. That's always a fun time of year. It's definitely a fun time for sports fans.
Mets are just
out of nowhere
rolling right now.
Well, they got a pitching staff, and when you got a team with a good pitching staff, eventually you're going to win some ball games. And imagine if they had listened to the outcry from the media and fans and fired their manager, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a seller during the trade deadline instead of a buyer. I mean, Cleveland too. Cleveland's rolling right now too. It's going to be an interesting fall.
Yeah, when the Mets go out there and acquire Marcus Stroman, they're like, he was supposed to go to a contender.
Yeah.
Turns out he did. the Mets
absolutely
are in contention. We do have a baseball guest this week. Unfortunately, his team, the Chicago White Sox, are not in the race at all. Adam Engel, outfielder for the Chicago White Sox, will join us later on. He talks a bit in our interview about a sermon that he had listened to from back home, one of the pastors, and it was about obedience, and it had left a strong impression on him. And when I hear that word, obedience, it kind of reminds me of being in grade school and hearing the nuns repeating it over and over again. They'd be like, be obedient, listen to your parents, follow instructions, don't misbehave. And if you did, in my case, you better tell the priest in confession, because it was my go-to sin back when I didn't know any better. I didn't know any better. I was stuck in religion. I followed the man-made rules, and I'd go in there and I'd say I was disobedient. But I don't want to go down that road. The word obedience, it left me, though, with this feeling of having someone with authority always hovering above me that I had to answer to. Mm-hmm. And I think many of us we don't like to feel that way. Like we have to answer to someone, that we have to listen to someone. It kind of, as you grow up, it becomes a little different. And as when you're an adult, there are usually fewer people that you have to, are in authority above you that you have to be obedient to. But if we have to answer to anyone, there's always, even if you are in a position as an adult where you are the boss of your work, there's still authority. There's still laws.
Correct.
There's still you're never going to be in a position where you have no one that you have to answer to. You can't just go and come as you please. You can't drive down the highway 100 miles an hour. You're going to get pulled over. There's an authority. But taking all that out of it, there's still one person. There's still the one that we all have to be obedient to, and that's the Lord. Yeah. And there's a ton of Bible verses that talk about obedience. I like John 14:15. where Jesus is saying, if you love me, keep my commands. Yep. And then he says in 16, he'll send the Holy Spirit will be sent as the conduit. What we're thinking about, and when we're trying to talk about being obedient, I always like to think about it like this. Who are we listening to?
Mm-hmm. That's
like,
good.
Are we following Christ's commands, or are we following his example, or are we listening to that voice that's in our head that tells us to sometimes do whatever we want to do, even when we know it's not what we should be doing? Are we allowing our friends to be the influence over our actions? Are we allowing our family to influence our behavior and what we're doing? Are we allowing the worldly values to influence the choices that we make? Because Christ set a standard that's far different than a lot of the cultural norms. So obeying the Lord isn't always easy, because we want to do what we like to do. But ultimately, he's the one who's going to judge our actions and our acts of disobedience. So it's very important that we listen to his word instead of following our own selfish desires. And it's definitely more important to listen to his word and obey him than everyone around us.
Yeah, look. when you go to a doctor, you have one of two choices. You can either listen to what they're going to say and actually follow what they tell you to do.
Yeah.
It's not because they hate you. It's not because they want to lord it over you. It's because there's something broken inside of you, or something sick inside of you. Now, I'm not always the best patient. Right? My wife will tell you I'm not always the best patient. And the reason why I'm not a really good patient a lot of times is because I was a pre-med major in college. And so I think
we learned something new. I did not know
that.
You
did not know that?
No.
Yeah.
When
I went to class, I occasionally went to those classes.
So you pay attention. That's
occasionally
good.
Went.
Okay.
But what's, the truth is, in that moment, because I had a little bit of knowledge.
Yeah.
I determined then how much of the doctor's advice I want to follow and how much I don't.
So you start questioning.
So I start to determine what I think.
Everything.
They don't know what they're talking about, or I'm fine, I can do it.
Right.
And that's what we do with God's word. A lot of time we get a little bit of knowledge, we get a little bit of experience, but I've seen, I've done.
Right.
And the beautiful thing about God's word is he is the ultimate physician. He is Yahweh Rapha. He is the God that heals. He's healing itself. He is the great physician. And his desire for us isn't just for us to follow his word so that we're obedient, right? He's not trying to be the principal that just makes sure you go to class, stay in line, don't chew gum in school, whatever.
The nun hovering with the ruler ready to slap your
knuckles. Because that's how I grew up to see God, right? It was God waiting with the baseball bat for you to step out of line. And when you do that, that's so scary. No one wants to be around that. No one wants to be called down to the principal's office.
No.
But when we understand God's the doctor, he's the great physician. Mm-hmm. He sees the broken stuff inside of us and his desires to make us whole. So he prescribes life for us. He prescribes things for us. Then we get to choose whether or not we're going to walk that out, Rob. And that's, so when we look at obedience from the standpoint of obedience is just right or wrong. Mm-hmm. Our selfish nature, our prideful nature, our broken nature is always going to want to do what we want to do.
And then we reason with ourselves.
Totally reason with ourselves. Exactly. But I went to pre-med classes. I know, I didn't go to med school, but I know enough, to get by. And that's where I looked at WebMD. That is the worst thing ever to do. Come on, Remy. We're at WebMD, right?
With this guy right there.
No, I know.
That's all he does.
It's horrible.
He drives me crazy.
And then you think, and you make decisions based off of that.
Yeah.
And that's where we keep getting sick. It's where we keep getting hurt. It's where we keep getting sore. It's where we never truly heal. And then we're upset with the physician because the physician never truly healed us, but we actually never followed what the physician said.
That's so true. I feel like it's a lot simpler than it really is. We just complicate things. Like when it comes to fitness, we know exactly how to get fit.
Correct.
But we just go, let's read 1,000 blogs. Let's prescribe to this. Let's subscribe to that. Let's pay. I'm guilty. I've paid
for. Pay $55 for an app?
I've done it. So many times. Let's subscribe to this. Saying. Let's pay that. Because you feel like there's a mystery out there that you don't know. With the mystery is very simple. Just don't eat sugar. Eat good carbs. You're going to get fit.
Work out.
No mystery. Work out. You know what I mean? And it's the same thing with debt. Get out of debt. How do you get out of debt? Same thing. It's the simple stuff in life that
actually,
we just
pay your bills.
Pay your bills. Go to work. Whatever.
Live within a budget.
Live within a budget.
Yeah.
So it's all stuff that we think it's a mystery out there. But obedience is just that. It's doing the simple things that you know how to do.
Yeah.
You already know everything. So God told you, love others. Love him.
Yeah.
Do the simple stuff. Do we do it? We don't.
Yeah.
We tend to just think there's something out there that is just so mysterious. And we like, obedience is something that we don't even, know how to obey.
The negative connotation of the word obedience.
100%.
Like, it's negative.
I think a lot of us feel obedient means I'm being submissive to someone else in authority.
Yes, subservient.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't want to, I make my own rules. I follow my own. But this is God we're talking about. And this is our Lord and Savior and his commands. If you follow that very simple one, like love one another as I have loved you. Like if we follow that one simple one, I think everything else comes out of it.
Yeah.
How you treat others.
I mean, that's what Jesus said. Love the Lord God with everything you've got and love other people. All the commandments hang on these things.
No, but he challenges us to be extraordinary. He doesn't want us to be ordinary. And that's why obedience for us is so difficult, because we think like, well, I just want to be, get by. But he wants us to be extraordinary. He wants us to have excellent lives. He wants us to be something that his vision for us is very different than our vision for ourselves.
True.
So that's why he wants us and mold us into something so exceptional. And to do that, we have to obey the rules. But the thing is, we tend to not, because we're afraid of what's going to happen if I obey these rules. Am I going to be in a box?
Yes,
you're not going to be in a box. You're not going to be restricted. In fact, it's kind of like when I was once riding a car and I see this little dog in a fenced area. And you can tell from, you know, just a perspective, you can say, oh, the dog is restricted in this fence, right? But if you think about it, if the dog is not in a fence, he could run into
the
traffic
road. Yeah.
And get hit and die. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily a limitation for him to not be happy, but it's a limitation for him to live a better life.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing. We have restrictions, we have limits to actually give us a better life, to give us a better perspective on life, to give us a better environment, to live happy, to live free in a sense.
That's not necessarily why Christ came, so we could be free.
Exactly. Yeah. So when you give your heart to Christ, he gave his heart to you. And in return, you have to respect that. You have to respect that love. And with that heart comes limitations. And you have to actually understand how to do that.
The boundaries. Look, the reality is we live in the boundaries every day.
We do.
We do, you know,
everything we do.
You know, you drive between the lines, right? Because if you don't, you're going to die.
Yeah.
You know, everyone who walks into the grocery store doesn't just walk out with food. They know that they have to go and pay for it, right? We work with the boundaries every day. It's what we have to understand is that boundaries are there to help us, not to hurt us.
Totally.
But they're not, that godly boundaries are not there to make us happy. They're there to make us healthy.
Yeah.
And I think if we get down to it, at least in my experience, most Christians don't struggle with making decisions, between good and evil, but good and godly.
Mm-hmm.
And those two things are very different.
Yeah.
Most men and women of faith aren't sitting around going, man, how can I kill somebody? Right? They're not. It's just not, that's not the temptation that's there. But the temptation, between good and godly is good people are going to tell you, you don't have to forgive that person. Godly wisdom says you do.
Yeah.
Good people will give you good advice, but the word of God is based on godly advice.
Yeah.
It sees things from a different perspective. And so I think that's where the struggle is. One of my friends, found himself in a very difficult position with a girl. They were facing a pregnancy and everyone had an opinion, right? Everyone.
Yeah.
Good, bad, the ugly. And, he was not struggling with the evil advice people are giving him. He was struggling with between the good advice that sounds good and the godly advice that actually is challenging at certain times in certain ways.
Right.
And that those things happen all the time in our lives. So I think that's, John chapter 10 verse 27, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and they know my voice and they follow me. I was in New Zealand a couple years ago, and this is actually really cool. I was talking about how sheep at sometimes, they wander all the time. They're totally oblivious. They're so adorable, but they're totally oblivious to danger. Like, they have an underdeveloped sense of danger, which is crazy.
I didn't know that.
It's nuts. They'll eat themselves to death because it's nuts. Wow. But one of the things that he said to me, which is so cool, he said, you know, you have to keep them away from water because the wool, that's what's naturally on them, that grows out of them naturally. The wool actually sucks the water in. It absorbs the external, the environment around it absorbs it, and it actually will suck them to the bottom and they'll drown.
Oh,
and I was, I know, right? It's so sad. But that's why they need a shepherd, right? Because he brings you beside still waters, right? He makes you stop just close enough that you can drink.
Oh my gosh.
But not allow the environment around you to get into what's natural in you and drown you. And that's what happens so much in our lives. The things that's naturally in us, our natural brokenness, and all of us have different brokenness, but the natural brokenness, we find people around us who are like that, and it gets inside of us. And even though our hopes and dreams are to elevate our life, it actually sucks us down to the bottom. That it's why we need a shepherd.
I love it.
The ultimate shepherd is our Lord.
Yes.
When we do that, Kyle, when we allow these other people, mm-hmm. and those friends that we surround ourselves with, and you know this, Remy, when we do that and we have voices speaking into our lives, sometimes those laws and those rules and that godly behavior that we know what is a godly act.
Yes.
We know that we should forgive, or we know that we should try and look at a situation in a different light. Because maybe somebody's going through something that we don't know about.
Yeah.
But sometimes the people surrounding us make us feel better about our reactions.
Oh, yeah.
and make us feel like we're justified in getting angry, or we're 100%. Justified in reacting this way, or we're justified in doing something that may not necessarily be godly. And that's why I go back to, like, well, who are we listening to? Whose voice is impacting us? Are they the people that we're surrounding ourselves with? Because if we're... If you listen to too many voices, they'll tell you different things and they'll lead you astray.
Look, people who cannot increase you will eventually decrease you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we just have to recognize those concepts in our life, that the people who we put around us, they don't determine our destiny. God does, but they do determine whether or not we're going to actually achieve it or not. And those are the things, we all have a lot of voices. We have a lot of voices in our head. Like, I don't even need, like, the truth is, I don't even need other people. I've got enough brokenness inside me.
Yeah.
Paul says, why do I always do what I don't want to do? There's a voice inside me. There's a force inside of me.
Yeah.
You know, and then you add experience and hurt and pain. And, you know, pain, the pain of life itself, it taints the way that we see life.
Yeah.
Anytime you go through pain, it's a filter. There's so many voices that we need to hear. And I think, you know, that gets us back to, you know, kind of, are we looking for good advice or godly advice? What does the Word of God said? And I think, Rob, what you said about so often people speak into our lives around us, and the trap in that is that we don't want to let people down, especially people that we really value. Because like, a lot of times we'll go like, I don't really care what they think, and we don't. But then there are those people that we really do care what they think.
Yeah, I know.
And the danger in this is that we start to make decisions to not let that person down. But we have to step back and go, we have to realize that every decision that we make is going to let somebody down. And so we cannot make the decision based off of that. Jesus, you know, there's that whole time in Matthew 14 where Jesus' mother and his brothers and sisters come, and they want to take him home because they think he's gone too far, right? Think he's a little, right? And that's what it says, they think he's gone too far. And there's this whole group. I mean, these are the people that are the closest to him. And if we remember, he's so close to his mom that the first miracle he does, he's at the wedding, and he doesn't even want to do the miracle.
Like,
and his mom's like, son, do what I'm telling you to do, right?
Yeah.
So, but when it comes down to this moment,
he was obedient.
He was obedient. But when it comes down to this moment where even his mom and his family are thinking and doing and believing something outside the kingdom of God, Jesus steps back and said, I can't listen to that. I have to do what the Father sent me to do.
Yeah.
And Danielle and I teach this all the time at church. Almost every decision we make is an allegiance moment. It's an allegiance moment. Our culture is so worried about being loyal. or disloyal, or, you know, and we're loyal.
Keeping it real.
Right. I need to keep it real. I'll be loyal unless you're disloyal to me.
Yeah.
This is a allegiance moment. Mm. What is my allegiance to Jesus?
Yeah.
Am I going to choose someone else or something else? Comfort, connection, mm-hmm. right? You know, family, friends, or am I going to be in allegiance to my Savior?
We talk about obedience with our children all the time, and it's kind of it. That's obeying God is not necessarily because we have to follow His rules because we're trying to achieve or impress Him. We're doing it because He loves us and He knows what's best
Correct.
For us and
Correct.
He wants what's best for us. And I think that's something that you and I all the time have to do with the girls.
Well, Melina, Melina. That child is hard-headed. Okay. Okay. She is hard-headed. Okay. And
she's a little stubborn.
Really thinks
she's set in her ways.
Saying no first thing to me and her dad is like the coolest thing to do. So she says no first, and then she agrees with you. So we've been doing like reverse psychology now. We would tell her something else, and then we would go like, would you rather do this instead? And she'd be like, sure. I'm like, we got you, girl.
Reverse psychology is fantastic. That's awesome.
And it works. And I think sometimes we kind of have to do that with other people too, reverse psychology, because,
well,
seriously, it drives me insane when people just say random things or say no or whatever.
But the moment is this, though. What we're trying to show her and what we're trying to show them is we're not saying no to whatever it is that she wants.
Yeah, she's saying no to us.
Yeah, or she's but oftentimes we're saying no to whatever it is she's telling us she wants to do.
Yeah,
but we're not saying it because we don't want her to have fun.
Correct.
We're not saying it because we don't care about her. We're not saying it because we don't want her to enjoy the food that she wants to eat when she wants to have
like,
ice cream
M&M
before.
For Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah. For breakfast.
For breakfast,
I was like,
or whatever.
What?
Yeah. We're trying, you know.
Sounds great.
You have
it's an
to,
awesome
right.
idea.
Yeah.
M&M for breakfast.
Daddy,
mommy,
Daddy like... introduced Cocoa Puffs.
Oh,
Remy wasn't
okay.
happy
oh,
about that.
I told
so.
Him if they ever get cavities, it's his fault, and I'm never going to forgive him.
I was looking at the sugar. It was like 9 grams of sugar. So I was like, yo, this is better than
and
some
like,
of these.
But did you look at the serving size?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's always the only
serving size. Like one
teaspoon.
It's like a teaspoon of this. It's 9 grams of sugar.
I like a nice little cheap Cocoa
Puff. But you're teaching your girls what I love, though, guys. You're teaching them, though, not to obey you out of fear. You're
right.
teaching them to obey that because
no, man,
the foundation
not,
of the two
yeah.
of you is that you love them.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between what you were talking about early on with, you know, growing up in a school where, you know.
It was out of fear.
Exactly. They were literally going to take a ruler and spank you if you didn't.
Smack you across the knuckles.
Now, there is nothing wrong, I think, with understanding that there are consequences to disobedience.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
And that's where sometimes we get upset with God, because we partially listen. Right, we decide like the doctors know we'll do three days of antibiotics, but we're not going to do the fifth because this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It should be done by now, and then we get sick again, and we blame God. There's consequences to our sin, but that consequence is not there because He doesn't love us. That consequence is there because that's our natural choice.
Yeah.
We chose unhealth rather than health.
Using that example that you just gave, which is great, I love it with the doctor. I went through this recently. Had a little issue, my chest, my neck, my back, whatever.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Kyle Horner, and Remy. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonafieldshow.com. You can find every show that we've done. Listen anytime at your convenience. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram,
and next thing you know, Facebook.
So now
I go back to the doctor. He's like, but I never cleared you.
I never gave you
the clearance to go back and do it as hard as you did. Like, you have to.
Lay off
and
for a while and wait till you
I'll
get better.
You know
and that's
I'm
kind of
doing various speaking.
Rob,
you just
described to me
the Rob Motti Show will be at Center Square Tavern
to me the Christian
in Woolwich Township, New Jersey.
It is
an awesome restaurant.
It's
a phenomenal
change our lives for a short while.
Awesome spot to get a drink, watch a game. I'll be there every Tuesday night, 6 to 8, starting on September 3rd. The shows will also be aired right here on 6 to 10.
And Remy, you mentioned it.
ESPN Philly. We're going to talk sports, do some trivia, giveaways, prizes. It's going to be a ton of fun. Can't wait for that. On October 10th, I will be part of an event, emceeing an event featuring Tim Tebow. So there's more information to come on that.
Casper the Friendly Ghost.
And then I got November, we got. I'm going to be the presence of God inside of us that Jesus said will be your counselor and your guide. He's the one that will lead you into all truth. Our guest today is Chase Anderson. He is in his sixth season in the major leagues. He began his career with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
We are much more familiar with the voice of ourselves than we are the voice of the
Holy Spirit. He spent two seasons there. He was then traded to Milwaukee in a deal that sent shortstop Gene Segura to the Diamondbacks, who eventually went to Seattle and then came to Philadelphia. Anderson had a terrific 2017
and then we start living by Christian rules.
7.4 ERA.
Right? We just Christian rule it. And it's it depends on what church you're at. Some are nicer and some are more stringent. But somewhere along the way, we change our lifestyle to reflect what we think we should be doing now that we are this type of person. But we never actually stop to actually submit ourselves to the voice of the shepherd, to the voice of the Spirit. To start listening and waiting. Wait upon the Lord. You shall renew your strength, right? There's this entirety that there's I just talked about this Sunday about Abraham and Lot. They come to this problem in Genesis where they have to split. They have to divide because there's strife.
Yeah.
And Lot chooses by sight. He looks out and he sees the valley and he goes, that's what I want to go. And Abraham waits for God. He just waits. And God says, then God speaks to him and says, okay, good. Go here, go there, do whatever. Here it is. I'm going to lead you to a place of prosperity and wholeness. I'm going to lead you to this place. And we're just not waiting. We're not listening. And we have limited obedience.
That's true. And obedience also feels very different. Like to me now, and like being obedient now and being obedient back then, they seemed very different for me. I feel like right now obedience comes very natural to me. It comes like it's normal.
Yes.
I feel like there is
there's maturity, I feel like there is a pull in your relationship
relationship
with the Lord. You grew, you matured, you changed, so therefore
if I'm going right and I'm supposed to go left, I can feel the Holy Spirit going, this is not it. Go right. That's actually maturing in my obedience. I feel like obedience is more, it's not like, oh, should I do this? I'm not questioning it anymore. Yeah. I feel like there is a pull now. There's going, no, sister, you need to not do that. Let's go the other way. That's to me maturing.
The Holy Spirit voice sounds like to you?
We'd be talking. Yeah, it's interesting. It's funny, but why does the Holy Spirit have to sound so like rigid and strong?
Right.
I feel like he does take an image in us.
Does he hit you with like a bro or a bra?
No, yeah. I feel like he does.
No, sometimes.
If you're friends more than a master and just a son, I feel if you're friends with the Holy Spirit and he's really your true friend inside of you, yeah. He would talk to you on the level
changes things. Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And it's not, he's not going to sound like this rigid parent.
Yes.
Or the master that's like, you have to obey. It's more
makes
like,
you fearful.
Hey,
right.
friend,
yeah,
what are you,
you
doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He invites you and obedience doesn't come so strange to you. It comes very natural to you because you're like, I just want to be more like you.
Yeah.
So when I go back to my old ways, it feels so weird for me.
Yeah, Remy, it's so funny because growing up, that the whole WWJD thing was like it, right? T-shirts, bumper stickers, and I still see them around in a lot of churches. And as I grew and matured, I actually grew to dislike that statement because what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
What that puts us in is a what do I think Jesus would do?
Right.
How do I think Jesus would respond?
Right.
Instead of asking the question, what is Jesus doing?
Yeah.
He is active everywhere. He's
exactly
there. It's right there in private.
That's
and
right.
And so we go back to, we go back to this. We're just kinder Pharisees. Mm. We're just Pharisees that have brought it into a Christianized culture, trying to say, well, what would the law say? Well, what would Jesus do?
Exactly.
Instead of being able to say a relationship, I'm not asking, what do I think Danielle would do for dinner? I'm saying, what is Danielle making for dinner, right?
I mean,
right?
Yeah, that's exactly that, right.
But it sounds so semantical, but it is a complete change in the way that you see
it's
life.
True.
It's the way that you see things. And so I'm always looking for, in any relation, in any conversation, what's the Holy Spirit doing in this moment?
Right.
What's he doing in this person? What's going on right now? What's he speaking in this moment? What is Jesus doing in this marketplace? What's he doing through the show right now? Who is he? What's he trying to do? And when you begin to ask those questions, you're then looking for the person. You're not looking for the principle. Mm.
Exactly.
And Christianity right now, church today in the 21st century, in my opinion, is built a lot on principles. And I love principles. There are foundational principles of Christianity that we need to live on. But we cannot talk about having a relationship with that Christianity is a relationship and only make it about principles. That's religion.
Yes.
We have to make it about a person. That means he's alive. What is he doing?
Yes, live with principles, and that's fine to live with
principles. They're good boundaries, absolutely.
But just have the Holy Spirit just be in there and working on you little by little and to get you to a place where obedience to you is
comes natural.
Yeah. Well,
the person will never take you outside of the principle because he's the one that actually made the principle,
made
right?
The principle.
He is the living word. He set that boundary. He'll never lead you out. I had a guy one day tell me, the Holy Spirit told me that I could have five mistresses. And I said, it's a spirit, I'm sure. But it ain't the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
This guy was dead serious.
No, dead serious, bro. Whoa. Dead serious. And I'm like, no, I mean, we're having this conversation in my office. Like he's justifying these five women. And I said, look, you got a spirit. It just isn't the Holy Spirit that's telling you that. Because because the Spirit of God, the person, will never lead you outside the principle that he already
said.
Absolutely not. So, but the principle without the person is religion.
Oh my goodness.
There are oftentimes, and this could be an entirely different show and different topic that we talk about, there are oftentimes where we put we say God told us to do this. The Holy Spirit told us to do this. But no, it's really you. It's that 100%. Voice, it's that evil, it's that spirit. There's a situation where somebody's like, "Oh, I keep running into this celebrity somewhere and I know we're meant to be together." No, you're stalking that person.
This is a true story.
You're stalking that person, and therefore
I didn't
have
the heart to tell that person.
You're in the same room because you know where they're going to be, but they have no interest in you, and don't say God put you there.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's a stalker.
Yes.
Babe.
Yeah. I'm like, come on.
Spiritual stalking.
Right.
That's good.
Oh man. Up next, the Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University, Chicago White Sox outfielder Adam Engel.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field show presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Kyle Horner, and Remy. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonafieldshow.com. You can find every show since the very first season, which we began in April 2017. You can listen anytime at your convenience. And if you feel so inclined, we would love if you would review, share it out, download, subscribe on iTunes, and everything else too as well. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode and blog delivered right there to your inbox. Make sure you follow us also at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, at Kyle J. Horner. I'll let you know where I'll be doing various speaking appearances. Coming soon, however, very soon, the Rob Motti Show will be coming to Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township, New Jersey. We'll be talking sports, a lot of football and football season.
Yes.
It starts 6 p.m. September 3rd. This is
an
awesome restaurant. They have phenomenal food. It is a terrific place to get a nice drink, watch a game, and enjoy it. I'll be there every Tuesday night. We'll do some sports talk, some trivia, giveaways, prizes. It's going to be a ton of fun. Can't wait for that. October 10th, I will host an event for the Parksburg Point featuring Tim Tebow. It'll be at the Octorara High School in the auditorium at 7 p.m. Tickets are available, and they're limited. You can't get them at the door, so you have to go to point_TimTebow.eventbrite.com. Our guest, Adam Engel, is an outfielder in his third season with the Chicago White Sox. He has great speed, plays excellent defense. And what I admire most about Adam is he's a young guy who is willing to boldly proclaim his love for Christ. I talked to Adam recently when the White Sox were in Philadelphia playing the Phillies in a three-game series. Here is that interview with Adam Engel.
Adam, I know you're a strong believer in Christ, so strong that you're bold enough to put on your social media, love Jesus. Like, that's the first thing. I look at your bio. Before it says ball player, before it says anything else, it says love Jesus. Tell me why you feel so strongly about your faith, about that relationship you have with the Lord, that you're willing to put it out there.
Yeah, I think for me especially, it's important that if people are, you know, going to look me up, or if people are going to come across my page, I want the first thing to be like, hey, I'm a Jesus follower. I think when it comes to social media, a lot of people kind of try and build their identity or show parts of their identity through social media, which can be good or it could be bad. It's kind of up to, you know, the person. But for me personally, I wanted it to be like, hey, if this is going to be speaking about my identity, I want people to know, you know, the most important thing about who I am is I follow Jesus. So that was the first thing I put up there. I thought that was the most important. Then I put some, you know, some fun stuff after that.
What does it mean to you to be a follower of Jesus? And what is some of the things, the work that he's done in your life? I know he's transformed my life. I've come a long way. I tell people I used to be a fan of Christ, became a follower. Now I identify as a disciple of Christ. What is some of the work that he's done in your life? And what does it mean to you to be a follower of Jesus Christ?
Yeah, you know, being a follower, I think that question is something as followers we kind of are continually figuring out, you know, as we go along in our walk. You know, for me, it's just trying to realign, you know, what I think I know, or how I'm supposed to live, or you know, what's my priority, and that continues to change, right? I think that's something, like I said, the more we learn about Jesus, and the more we go into a relationship with him, the more we kind of clarify what that actually means. You know, if I was to give you exactly our everything that he's changed in my life, you know, we could be here for a pretty long time. But I would say for me, the biggest thing was just daily life, and probably my priorities would be the easiest way to answer that question is my priorities completely changed. I think, you know, growing up, I really stepped into my faith probably in college. I was kind of exploring, you know, throughout, you know, the younger years of my life, but really stepped into my faith as a collegiate athlete at Louisville. But I would say before that, it was just kind of whatever my friends were doing or whatever, you know, my family was doing. You know, that was kind of, you know, not all bad, definitely not all good, but that's kind of what I understood the world to be, and how you're supposed to, you know, interact with others. And then as I became a follower, things, like I said, continue to just become more and more clear as to, you know, yes, that was good, that what you learned from your parents in that area was good, or, you know, what you learned there is not what we're called to do. So I would say, in a short summary, that's kind of what I'd say.
As a young father, how are you doing your part to raise them in the Word, to raise them to know Jesus Christ? I know for me, it changed my life when I became a dad. I have two little girls, and my priorities, of course, were constantly evolving, and you know, you focus on your family, you focus on your children. You're a young ball player, you're married, you have kids. How do you make sure that you stay on top of it and make sure that you raise them in the church?
Yeah, so my kids are still young. So I have two little girls, actually, and then my wife's pregnant with number three. So I have a two-year-old, she's a little over two, and then I have a nine-month-old. So still really early on. Yeah, yeah. But my wife and I try and prepare, you know, when we have the time. It's tough to really, you know, go too far out into the future with certain things, just because, you know, with two under two, it's pretty hectic, but it's a joy. And I think you know, just having mentors in my life that, you know, they have kids, and obviously my parents, you know, raised me a certain way, and, you know, I think that's something that we all can do, you know, whether you're a follower or not. You kind of take the good and the bad from your own parents and kind of figure that out. But as far as raising my kids in the faith, you know, you just got to live it. I think that's the most important thing. You know, you got to live out your faith. You can't just talk about it and teach it. You got to live it. And, you know, I think we as humans tend to follow, you know, the behavior around us. And, you know, learning from teachers is almost like a secondary way of or learning how to live, I think, I would say. But just living it's got to be the biggest thing. And, you know, having that kind of open growth mindset, I think you can't have an ego when it comes to being a parent. I think you got to learn from others and continually be taking advice and make sure the advice that you're getting is from people that you look up to and respect, and just trying to apply what you're learning, I guess.
One final thing for you. As a ball player, you're going to go through some struggles. You're going to have some high moments, low moments. You're going to hit some slumps. How do you rely on your faith when you're going well to not get you too caught up in who you are as an athlete and really keep the focus on him? He blessed you. And when you're going through tough times, when you're slumping, when you're having a rough moment, how does your faith allow you to deal with it and get through those moments?
Yeah, for me, my faith is, I mean, it's so many different things, but one thing when it comes to baseball is it's just kind of like that foundation that you can always come back to, you can always look back at to ground you and to remind you, you know, this is what you're here for. You know, just recently I was listening to a sermon from my church back home, and the pastor was saying she had a couple different I don't want to say like buzzwords, but a couple of phrases that she likes to use. And the first one was, your job is obedience, God's job is power. And then the second one was, make sure you're living for the next world, not this one. And yeah, very strong. And those two things, you know, obviously a lot of people hear the same sayings multiple times and they mean different things to you. And for whatever reason, those two sayings just kind of hit me in that moment. At the time I was in AAA, and you know, you're obviously trying to get back to the big leagues, and you have a bad game in AAA, and it's always kind of like, oh man, if I didn't have that bad game, you know, maybe I, you know, get my opportunity sooner or whatever the case may be. And that's just like the thinking that this game like cultivates, you know, like it, you just are around that because guys are trying so hard to get to the highest level and stay there. And so you get a lot of thinking like that, and it's just a reminder, like, you know, I write it on my mirrors. Like, I have a dry erase marker and I write it on my mirror, so I see it every day when I wake up and when I go to bed at night. And, you know, anytime in between there, it's like, hey, you know, like, your job is obedience. Your job isn't to be, you know, the best baseball player in the world. Your job isn't to get 5 hits every night. Your job isn't to, you know, to make incredible plays. Like, your job is to be obedient. Now, with that obviously comes hard work, focus, being a good teammate, trying to perform at your best, wanting to win. Like, all those things we're called to as Christians and Christian athletes, you know. So yeah, absolutely be obedient. But, you know, that's the end of it, right? Like, that's, we're called to those things. We're not called to more than that. And I believe if we're obedient, then God will show up with his power. And whether that means performance, you know, obviously that's something that we want to give glory back to him on, because that is where it's coming from, right? If it's his job and he comes through on that end, then it's not, you know, it's not from us. And if it's not, you know, if he's shown his power in a different way, you have to recognize that as a Christian. And that's, I think, where the other saying comes in, like, live for the next life, not this one. And it's like we can get really, really caught up in this world, and especially baseball. Like I said, it just kind of breeds that way of thinking, like, this is everything, you know? And don't get me wrong, it's an incredible blessing to play this game, but this isn't what God meant for us, right? Like, he meant for us to have a relationship with him and others, not to play a game, you know, at the highest level, per se. Now, again, is baseball bad? Absolutely not. Baseball is awesome. It's an incredible blessing. But is it, you know, the end-all, be-all? Is this what he intended for our lives? Absolutely not.
The platform for you to use to utilize your skills to glorify him, and who knows who else you're impacting, especially by doing things like this. And really appreciate your time, Adam. Thank you so much.
That was Chicago White Sox outfielder Adam Engel. We'll talk about it next on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, and Remy. We just heard from Chicago White Sox outfielder Adam Engel. A lot of good stuff in that interview. I really appreciated his willingness and his, as I said earlier, his boldness as a young kid in the major leagues to just proclaim his faith the way he did. One of the couple of the points that he touched on that I wanted to bring up here is when he said in that sermon that he had listened to back home, and it was talking about obedience, which we've talked about throughout the show. Also, make sure you're living for the next world, not this one.
So good.
And I think that is such a challenge, right? Yeah. That's such a challenge for all of us, because we don't see the next world.
Right.
We don't, right. And we don't even realize that this world for us, our life here on this earth, is such... It's such a small, minor fraction of what eternity is. Yeah. Yet we're so caught up in what's going to be better for me today. What's going to be make me happy tomorrow? What can I do to make next week better? And people are like going through the motions sometimes. You know what I hate all the time is when we talk about like, the weekend or vacations, or we're like looking forward. But why is this day not valuable enough to you that I can't wait? We fall into this trap too, hon. All the time we talk about, oh, I can't wait to go to Florida. Well, what's wrong with January?
There's a lot wrong with January. But I'm going to be honest here, y'all. So January is awful in New Jersey and it's amazing in Florida. But the thing is, this takes the pressure off of you. If you think about it, if I'm living for the next life and not now, that takes a lot of pressure off of me and you, because we're not living like, oh, we have to strive to do this, we have to do this, we have to do that, we have to accomplish so much, which is fine. Accomplishing things is great, but it's not the end result. But if I'm living from the end to now, like if I'm living for the next life, that's a pretty good way to live, because I'm not really living under so much restriction and stress. pressure and stress. I'm just living like, hey, Lord, it's all in your hand. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. And I'm going to live with purpose. And I'm going to live out the destiny that you have for me. And I'm going to get there with your help. But I also, this is not as important as the next life. This is not as important as living with you. So I'm going to live for you and not for now.
Yeah, Jesus puts it like this. He said, look, wherever your treasure is, your heart will be. And, you know, I think the tension that we live in is we live, you know, we're not of this world. We still have to live in this world.
Yes.
And this is not a burden. God actually designed this for this to be a joy as well. So it's not like, hey, just someday it's going to be better. And this day I have to surrender to it being this is my hell. This is the worst
I'm
ever.
This is meant to be
a blessing as well. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. What I would say is this, what he was saying that's so powerful is that whatever we focus on determines our direction, and our direction determines our destination. And, you know, so when you're focused on only now, only self-fulfillment, the problem is the destination of that, you'll never really achieve it.
No.
Right.
And we've talked about that before. But when we're focused on living with Him every moment, that includes now and later, and that creates a direction for our life that enables an environment of fulfillment to always be present.
That's the biggest challenge I think that many of us may feel is like, I don't see this. I don't know what's going to happen. That's great. I've secured my place, but I want the best for me now. I want to make myself happy right now. But like you said, if you're living for, when you're living for the future, when you're living for eternity, when you're living for your next world, that kind of dictates how you're acting now. It just gives you a parameter. How you're obeying.
Right, exactly. You know, you and I are athletes, Robin, and you know, when we're always preparing for a game, that's down the road. But the exercises I'm doing today are preparing me for the victory that I want to have later on.
Yeah.
And that's the same way in this. I don't have to. I didn't have to go to the gym in the summer when, you know, I didn't have to get up early and run. I didn't have to do those things. But I knew because of what the focus of the game that was coming up or the season that was coming up, I wanted to best present myself to give myself the best ability to have a victory. And that's the parameters that heavenly concept gives us.
Yeah.
It's just a bigger picture.
Amen. Loved it, guys. Great show. Thank you to all our listeners and followers. Thank you to our guest today, White Sox outfielder Adam Engel. Big thanks to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Horton, who's responsible for all of these new sponsors that I'm going to thank in a second. But first, huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, our podcast, our blog, all he does to make us present better. Thank you, Jim Henderson, for the work you do behind the scenes. Appreciate it. Thank you to Brett Kronberger and Ryan Lennox for producing the show. And all of our sponsors, Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, the King's Christian School, Center Square Tavern, and our two newest, California Closets and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Swedesboro. Thank you. And thank you to 610 Philly, 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.